Well, first, I'd like to thank Anne again for the invitation to speak here. I've really enjoyed the conference. So I'm going to talk about the control of Triatoma infestans, the principal vector of Chagas disease in South America, in cities, and specifically Arequipa, Peru. I first give a brief background on Chagas disease and vector control campaigns in South America. Then I'll show some math to evaluate alternative orderings in time and space of control programs, and then how we can optimize that ordering using some algorithms borrowed from an analogous problem called the traveling salesman problem. And finally, I'll give some general rules of thumb for control in time and space. So Chagas disease kills more people than any other parasitic disease in the Americas. It's about 9.8 million people are infected with the etiological agent of Chagas disease, Trypanosoma cruzi. Most will never get sick, but some 10 to 30% will develop chronic disease, which is pretty much untreatable. Here's the vector, T. infestans. The parasite is in the gut of the vector, and infection occurs through contact with the insect's feces. You can see some of the feces here on this wall, and there's no transmission by the bite. T. infestans has been the target of an elimination campaign since 1991 called the Southern Cone Initiative. And this initiative has been really successful, especially in Uruguay, Chile, and Brazil, where it's disrupted transmission of the parasite by T. infestans. And it's been less successful in Bolivia, Paraguay, northern Argentina, and southern Peru. One of the problems that the initiative faces is return of the vector following application of insecticide. Once the insecticide wears off, the bugs come back. And they can come back from sites within the community that was sprayed, by passive transport with people and animals, and by active dispersal, especially the adults, which are winged. So the current practice of the initiative is to spray communities in following the rule of contiguity. The idea is that if you spray each community and their neighbors, you'll prevent bugs returning from unsprayed communities to sprayed communities. And here's the city of Arequipa. It's a city of nearly 1 million people now in the highlands of southern Peru. And really across the rest of the range of T. infestans where it has been controlled, it was in rural communities. So this urban transmission is a new phenomenon. I'm going to talk about the control program in one district of the city called Socabaya. There are 53 communities in Socabaya, and you can see it's quite a complicated configuration of communities. And in order to find, let me just go back. The point of showing the map is that there's no obvious way to spray these 53 communities in a contiguous fashion. So what I wanted to do was model the active dispersal of T. infestans so we could evaluate alternative orderings of spraying those 53 communities. And the model is quite simple. The community begins, it's infested prior to spray. Once it's sprayed, when it's infested, it's also infectious. It serves as a source of vectors that can migrate to other communities. Once it's sprayed, it's uninfested and uninfectious, and it remains immune to reinfestation by vectors for the duration of the effect of the insecticide. We're using deltamethrin, and the deltamethrin lasts about 100 days in Arequipa. Following the waning of the effect of deltamethrin, the community becomes susceptible to reinfestation from vectors from surrounding communities. So here's the math. We're trying to calculate the expected instances of vector reinfestation. And if you look at this community here, I'm calling it community I, and all the surrounding communities, community J. The number of expected bugs that we'd expect to come back to community I from community J is a function of the duration of time that community I is susceptible to infestation and community J is still unsprayed. It's also a function of how many bugs are in each community surrounding each of these dark communities. And finally, a function of the migration rate of vectors between each community, which depends on the distance between those communities. So we did some field work to estimate that function of migration rate against distance. We left sentinel enclosures with two guinea pigs in households and 25 bricks, and then the triatomines migrated to these bricks. At the end of the study, after 5 months, we sprayed the whole community, caught all the triatomines, so we knew where the potential sources of these migrating vectors, and we made some inference about how the bug moved in space. So here's a function, here's the function we estimated from those data. I can go in, I don't have time to go into exactly how we did that. Prior to the spray campaign, we also, the Ministry of Health did a survey of 30% of houses in each community to estimate the prevalence of infestation. The darker communities had more infested houses and the lighter ones had fewer. And then this is the what I'm going to look at today, the time at which a community is susceptible and other communities infectious. And that depends on the rate of progress of the control campaign. We could spray about 18 houses a day per spray brigade. We had two brigades. The duration of the effect of the insecticide, and then most importantly, the ordering of the spray campaign. So here's a contiguous ordering, which I did by eye. It's just trying to trace a path through the district, starting at this community here, because we had found evidence of transmission of Chagas disease in that community. And as you can see from that equation I showed, we calculated the expected number of instances of reinfestation. And you can see there's quite a number of expected instances in which bugs would come back from surrounding communities during the course of the spray. We also tried some computer-generated, formalized, contiguous orderings, and these, not surprisingly, didn't work any better. Here's another version where we basically sprayed in order of how far away we were from the first community in concentric circles, and that also had a significant amount of reinfestation. So the problem is, with 53 communities, there are 10 to the 69 possible orderings. We couldn't possibly evaluate all of those to see which was best. And there's a similar problem called the traveling salesman problem. This problem consists of finding the route of visiting some number of cities, the quickest route, the shortest route that a salesman could visit X number of cities. And there's been quite a lot of work in the computer science literature to optimize solutions to this problem. So we basically just borrowed some of those algorithms. And the one I used for what I'm going to present today is a genetic algorithm. And it basically works by assigning a random population of solutions by which you could visit six cities, A, B, C, D, E, and F, calculating how far you'd have to travel if you took that route, then selecting individual solutions in proportion to how good they are. So here the quickest route was selected more often. And then there's this mating process. And the idea is you create offspring orders, maintaining some of the aspects of the parental orders, but also introducing some variation. And if you keep doing this many, many times, you can eventually get an optimal solution to the traveling salesman problem. And the way that I introduced variation was through crossover, basically taking a piece of one order and inserting it into the other order, and then eliminating the duplicates, or by mutation, basically just swapping two positions in the ordering. So now back to the bugs. Instead of minimizing the distance we had to travel in the control campaign, I'm going to minimize the expected number of instances of reinfestation as calculated by that equation above. So I have a little kind of homemade movie here. Let's just go through it slow. Starting at the contiguous ordering, there's about 69 instances of infestation that we would expect to occur. And there's about 80 possible solutions going on behind this that you can't see. I'm just going to show you the best. So in the first step, there's a slight change, and we had a decrease in the number of bugs. And as you can see, the algorithm will just keep making slight little adjustments and decreasing the number of expected instances of reinfestation. And if you run this out for about a half an hour, which I don't have time to do, you can get the number of bugs down to about 2. And that's, in relative terms, that's a 34-fold decrease in the number of expected instances of reinfestation. So here's that algorithm-generated ordering compared to the contiguous ordering. And what you can see is what's happening is the algorithm-generated ordering is kind of deviating from that sequential treatment of contiguous communities. And by doing so, that allows it to eliminate some of these sources of reinfestation and decrease the expected number of bugs that we'd get. So we ran this about 1,000 times, and we looked at all the algorithm-generated orderings to look for common tactics that these used in spraying the district. I'm just going to show a couple. Here's a little subset of the district. There's 7 communities here, which were particularly tricky to spray. And the first tactic is to postpone the treatment of an approximate community that's susceptible to multiple distal communities. You can see here's a community which we would expect quite a lot of reinfestation. If you jump over that community, clear out some of the other communities first, and then come back to it, you can decrease the amount of reinfestation. And the other tactic in general is to clear a path by treating highly infectious communities prior to less infectious proximal communities. So again, by jumping over that NETS community in line, we could decrease the total amount of reinfestation. So I'm going to show a little bit of sensitivity analysis. In gray are the 1,000 algorithm generated orderings. The blue is the best of those orderings as we fit the model. And red is the contiguous strategy. Here on the right is the parameter of migration function, the shape of that curve that we'd estimated from the field data. And really the solutions are robust to that parameter. At a very varied shape of that function, you have the same solution. The best strategy is still the best. On the other side is the duration of insecticide effect. And it's a little different here. We'd fit the model with 100 days expected effect of the insecticide. And that works well. If we'd underestimated the effect, things would be fine. But if we'd overestimated it, our best solution would actually be worse than a contiguous strategy. There are, I don't know if you can see in yellow, there is a strategy that's more robust. And in that case, that algorithm-generated strategy would be better than the contiguous strategy, as long as the insecticide lasts at least about 20 days. So another reality of vector control in Arequipa is unforeseen delays. We often have transport strikes and other things that force us to stop spraying for some period of time. So I wanted to look at how our improved orderings would do in the presence of these unforeseen delays. So I kind of just threw a wrench into the model, a 30-day delay in which nothing was sprayed, and then considered what would happen if that delay occurred towards the beginning of the campaign, or the middle, or towards the end. And again, the blue is the best algorithm-generated strategy, and the red is the contiguous strategy. And what you can see is that there's really a very high sensitivity to these unforeseen delays, and there's kind of a chaotic sensitivity. If the delay occurred on day 19, nothing would happen. But on day 20, that best strategy would really plummet. It wouldn't be much better than the contiguous strategy. So there's no robust ordering that would work against any unforeseen delay. So the only thing you can do is, if there's a delay, refit the algorithm to figure out the best way to complete the spray once the delay finishes. So in conclusions, the main conclusion is contiguous strategies that are accepted by the WHO and which we're trying to follow can be short-sighted, and they often leave a lot of communities exposed to other communities, especially the further it progresses, the more it becomes exposed along its flank. It's kind of going too far into the campaign without properly thinking ahead. The algorithm-generated strategies are more flexible, and they can find kind of a way to clear a path for the campaign to progress by eliminating some of the larger sources of bugs earlier. But there's some sensitivity to the duration of the insecticide effect, so it's better to use conservative estimates of how long the insecticide is going to last. And there's chaotic sensitivity to the timing of unforeseen delays, so it's very important to refit the algorithm upon the completion of the delay. And I'd just like to thank everyone who helped on the study, both in Peru and here in the United States, and the funding sources. Yes, we could spray 18 houses per day with one brigade. We had two brigades, so we basically calculated how long it would take them to spray each community.
They spray every house, or they just select a
possible house? We try to spray every house, and we usually get about 89%. Yes?
What was the impact of pursuing the map algorithms on the absolute distance of travel needed to spray campaign and other associated costs?
So the question is, what is the impact on travel time, and especially with gas prices, how the extra costs of extra travel? And that's it's a very important question, especially in rural areas. In the city, we actually begin each day at a headquarters where we pick up the insecticide. So our travel cost is the same no matter which way we go, because we have to visit every community. But in a more rural setting where you kind of do a traveling caravan treatment program, you'd probably, what we've done is kind of made a utility function where we can weight the expected decrease in reinfestation against the extra cost of extra travel time. Yes?
What kind of software do you use for your model?
The software, I wrote the model in R, which is a statistical software that's freely available on the internet. Now, if anyone's interested, just email me and I can, once the code is clean, I'll be happy to share that with anyone. Thank you.